Hello there. Shalom. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. I'm your host, Lydia, and this is The Plumb Line, How Do We Measure Up? Part 7. Welcome once again as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments of Yahuwah. Last installment was commandment number 4 regarding the Sabbath day, and wasn't it enlightening? As always, I will read the scripture text up to our last study commandment and review part 6 before we begin today's lesson. All scriptures will be from the Sefer unless otherwise stated. Let's read. Exodus 20 verses 1 through 11 from the Sefer. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahuwah Eloheka, which have brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahuwah Eloheka, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and guard my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahuwah Eloheka in vain, for Yahuwah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the day of Shabbat to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. For the seventh day is the Shabbat of Yahuwah Eloheka. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For Yahuwah made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Yahuwah blessed the day of Shabbat and hallowed it. Number 1. Sabbath is Shabbat, and it means intermission. A time of pana lahatz, a time to turn and press in. Number 2, we are commanded to remember the Sabbath day. Remember here is the word zaher, and it means to mark, to be mindful of, to record so as never to forget. Number 3, there are 7 days in a week, and Yahuwah has only made holy 1 day out of the seventh. Number 4, we are commanded to keep the seventh day holy, as Yah has set it apart from every other day. Every day has its significance, but Sabbath is to be held in the highest regard. It is the only day chosen by Yahuwah that we rest from our businesses and our occupations and commune with him. This day is sacred, sanctified, set apart by the Father for us. Number 5, the word holy is kadash, and it means separate and sacred. The seventh day is separated from all other days as separate and sacred. Number 6, Yahusha did not discard the Sabbath as some believe. He said this in Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen, one yod or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled. Short review of the word study for this verse. Destroy is the word kataluo, and it means to deprive of force, annul, or discard. Fulfill in verse 17 is plerao, and it means to cause to abound or to bring greater light and revelation. Jot or yod and tittle is iota, meaning the smallest item, or kyria, meaning the minutest of particles. Fulfilled in verse 18 is the word genomai, and it means to come into existence or to come to pass. This is what he said in light of the translated terms. Don't think that I am come to annul or discard the law of the law or the prophets. I did not. I came to cause them to abound in fullness and to bring greater light and revelation regarding them. As a matter of fact, truly, I'm telling you, until heaven and earth pass away, neither the smallest item of observation nor the least particle of Yah's word will pass from the law until every bit of it has come into existence. Number 7, we looked at additional terms that talk about rest in scripture, such as anapao, which means to put at ease, to give refreshing, and to quiet or calm your spirit. Anapao is translated as rest in Matthew 11 and 28. Number 8, sabbaton, is the term for Sabbath in Mark 2 and 27, meaning a day of weekly repose from secular avocation, and it is rooted in the Hebrew word Shabbath. Number 9, sabbatismas, means to keep the Sabbath, and this word is in Hebrews 4 and 9, and it refers to a keeper of the Sabbath who enters their heavenly rest, transitioning into eternal rest from all troubles and labor, both physically and spiritually. Remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy sets us up for this rest in Yahuwah. Number 10, verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 4 reveals yet another term referring to the rest in verse 9. And it is katapausis. And it means a putting to rest, a calming of the winds, a resting place. It is literally making one's abode with Yahuwah. The Sabbath keeper will make their abode, their place of rest in Yahuwah. Review the text in verses 9 through 11. The Sabbath keeper has ceased from his own labor as Yah did from his. When Yah ceased from his labor, creation was complete. But our Sabbath is an intermission, a stoppage to refuel and then work again until we take ultimate rest and make our abode with Yahuwah complete. Number 11. And so we labor to enter that final rest with Yahuwah through Yahusha, and our Sabbath dates are our intermissions for refueling and resetting, for increased intimacy and alignment until our rest is complete. Notice the first four commandments deals with our relationship with Yahuwah, that we acknowledge who he is and what he has done, honor his name with humility in all and in all of its holiness, and that we should keep our set time of rest and replenishment each week to keep the appointment with him holy and make our abode with him and our elections sure. The next six commandments that we'll be looking at deal with our relationship with one another, which are also a reflection of our relationship with Yahuwah. This takes us into our highlighted commandment for today. Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahuwah Elohecha gives you. Honor your father and your mother as Yahuwah Elohecha has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which Yahuwah Elohecha gives you. Let's briefly look at the word honor in these scriptures. That's an important word, one that is said a lot but rarely understood. Honor in the Hebrew is the word kavad. In both scriptures, this term lends weight to the matter. This is an honor that is weighty to Yahuwah. The word long in Exodus and prolonged in Deuteronomy is the term arak, and it means to lengthen, to draw out, to defer as in defer a set time, to outlive and to overlive. Now, in light of these word meanings, let's look at this again. It is of considerable significance that you honor your father and your mother, so it go well with you and your days be lengthened as in increased in number in the land that Yahuwah Elohecha gives you. With all diligence, your life and the quality thereof depends on adherence to this commandment, so you reap its promise, which is length of days. Glory to God. This commandment was also reiterated to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "Children, obey your parents in Yahuwah, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Let's look at the words obey and honor here in the Greek. Obey in the Greek is hupakuo, and it means to listen and to hearken, to submit, to conform to a command or the authority of. And the word honor in the Greek is timao, and it means to revere as in honor, to prize as in a fixed valuation or to value. So we are to honor, to hearken to the words of our parents and to affix value to them and to their words. Children, listen to your parents and conform to their authority, reverencing them and valuing them, so your life will be prosperous and your days will be long in the earth. All of these scriptures are the description of the first commandment with promise. And that promise being, if we obey Yahuwah in honoring our parents, even if we feel they are not honorable, he will bless us and extend our days in the earth. Honor has its own reward, no matter the situation, and it yields. The yield of honor is always great. Rendering honor. You shall rise up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man and fear your Elohim. I am Yahuwah Elohecha, Leviticus 19 and 32. He that smites or assaults his father or his mother shall be put to death, says Exodus 21 and 17. Do not uncover the nakedness of your father or your mother, Leviticus 18 and 7. Don't reveal their vulnerabilities. Whoever shall curse his father or his mother shall be put to death, says Exodus 21 and 17. Okay, we're saying that again in another version. Rebellious and obstinate children shall be put to death, Deuteronomy 21 verses 18 through 21. Hear the instruction of your father and do not abandon the law of your mother, Proverbs 1 and 8. Keep your father's commandment and don't reject the law of your mother, Proverbs 6 and 20. The eye that mocks its father and despises to obey his mother, the raven shall pluck out and the eagles shall eat it, Proverbs 30. And 17. Whoever robs his father or his mother is a companion to the destroyer, Proverbs 28 and 24. Ways to honor parents as adults. Number one, cover them in prayer daily. Pray with them and for them. Number two, be thankful for them and show them gratitude. When we were born, we were helpless, and they sheltered and nurtured us. They protected and taught us to the best of their abilities, and some who felt unequipped may have given us up for adoption with the hopes that there was a person that would give us the love they felt they were unable to. Be thankful. Number three, communicate with them. We must make time in all of life's busyness to be concerned about how they are faring. they have milestones to reach even in their latter years. Perhaps Yah will use us to help them reach them. Number four, treat them with respect. We all get frustrated at times, and we should be self-aware as to how we're coming across to our parents, who we are commanded to honor. Explain your frustration. If your parents are anything like mine, they will understand and appreciate your love and concern for them. After all, respect is both word and deed. Number five, your value for your parents should be demonstrated. Number six, seek their advice and wisdom. They have priceless experiences that we need both now and in the future that will help us avoid some of life's pitfalls. They also have valuable generational information that can help us trace the sources of generational blessings and generational curses so we can increase the one and come out of agreement with the other. It never ceases to amaze me, the wisdom that comes forth from my parents. They don't understand technology, but people they understand. And I have avoided some things because I listened, even in recent years. Number seven, encourage your parents. Aging can be difficult, especially if your parents do not have a relationship with Yahusha. Be there for them, to listen to their concerns and agree to assist them with real solutions. Be there for them. Number eight, forgive your parents. Every parent makes mistakes when raising their children. None of us are flawless. We all have made poor decisions at one time or another that affected someone. Forgive them. Unforgiveness will cause your life to be stuck, and you will miss the blessings associated with honor. Forgive them. Some of us also need to ask our parents for forgiveness because we were obstinate, unruly, and worrisome children that they cried many nights over and prayed we would survive our own messiness. Ask them for forgiveness, and then forgive yourself. Number nine, tell them the truth. Confession really is good for the soul, and it releases the adversary's hold on you. Telling the truth is always honorable, even when it's difficult to tell. Number 10, take care of your parents when the need arises. Find services that will help them if you cannot be present. Most cities have local and county agencies that will provide services for up to 60 days for free and beyond at a prorated cost that will include home health aids, equipment, and even meals. Contact their city council on aging for leads. Number 11, speak well of them both privately and in the public. What if you wrote a formal tribute to your parents? Can you imagine the love and joy they would feel knowing how grateful you are that they are your parents? That you remember their sleepless nights and overtime shifts to get you to your next? Some of our parents have been so selfless, they are due double honor. Each of us should have a code of honor. First, honoring Yah, and second, honoring our parents, and to all to whom honor is due. Show honor and live. Honor your father and your mother as Yahuwah Eloheka has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which Yahuwah Eloheka gives you. Our next highlighted commandment is from Exodus 20, verse 13, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 17. You shall not kill. You shall not kill. The word kill is rotsek in the Hebrew tongue, and it means to break or dash into pieces, to kill, to murder, to slay, the act of homicide or assassination. It is also noted that there is a late Hebrew derivative noted in one of the lexicons that adds this meaning, to break, to bruise, or to crush. This is among the things that Yah hates. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says, these six things Yahuwah hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Thou shalt not kill. Hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that sows discord among the brethren. We were created in his image to give him glory, thus choosing to destroy a life that he has created is in direct violation of his standards and this command. You shall not kill. You shall not murder. You shall not slay. You shall not crush until a heart stops. You shall not bruise until one bleeds to death. You shall not slay. You shall not cause. You shall not break to cause death. You shall not kill. The following passages are from the King James Version of the Bible. Exodus 23 and 7 says, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Listen to the word of Yah spoken through Jeremiah to the Hebrews. Jeremiah 7, verses 6 and 7. If ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Suffer here is the word pascho, and it means to experience a painful vexation, sensation, passion, feeling, or impression. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17. And he that killeth, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And I want to add something even right here, because we don't want to forget that God is not mocked. As it is written, even in the book of Galatians, this was Paul speaking to the church in Galatia, letting them know that God is not mocked at any time, under any circumstances. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. Just as he will not give his glory to another, he will not be mocked. And whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So in this verse in Leviticus, it says 24 and 17, it says any man, it says that he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. Now, sometimes we don't expect that to happen at the time. Sometimes we think we can cover our tracks when we have murdered someone physically or assassinated their reputation. Sometimes we feel like we can hide from the hand of Yah, but God, he will not be mocked. And whatsoever you sow, that is exactly what you are going to reap. So death is coming for you. If you have killed somebody, if you have ruined reputation, if you have dashed the dreams of someone, if you have come against the ministry of somebody's authentic ministry as a false voice, you have death coming because you have killed. Amen. Even those that were listening, there were those that were tenderhearted, those that were vulnerable to the voice of that authentic one, and you came in and assassinated their reputation. And not only did you assassinate their reputation, but you killed off those who were listening. You killed off the vulnerable ones who was seeking words of life, and who was eating from the hand of that authentic voice. You came forth and you killed them. God is not mocked. Yah is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Romans 12:17-21. It says, recompense to no man. And these are all in the King James Version, as I forestated. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Yahuwah. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me go back a little bit in this passage, because this is a it's a figure of speech, to heap coals upon the head. And that particular figure in ancient Hebrew is when they had cold days, they would have someone that would bear coals upon their head. They actually had a container that was insulated that they would put on top of their head in cold weather, and it would keep them warm. So it would keep them warm. So not only would it warm their head, it would warm their whole body as they delivered, amen, these fiery coals to the homes, in order for them to lay in their hearth so that their homes could be heated. So this is a figure of speech, amen, that when we feed our enemy, when we give our enemy drink, when we do good to our enemies, although our enemy may be doing terrible things to us, amen, when we do those things, we will bring warmth to the heart of our enemy. We'll change their mind about the things that they're doing. It'll change their heart about the way that they feel, even about you. And let's look at the rest of this verse. It says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This passage takes us directly into my next point under the commandment, you shall not kill. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21. If you love death, the fruit of death is what will consume you. And if you love life, then the fruit of life is what will consume you. Is what you will consume. I'm sorry. Is what you will consume. So if you love death, the fruit of death is what you will consume. And if you love life, the fruit of life is what you will consume. We speak life into people and not death. If you are an assassinator of character, a slayer of reputations, a crusher of hopes and dreams, a murderer of destinies, if you dash into pieces the self-esteem of others, you are in violation of this command, you shall not kill. Amen. I'm going to repeat that one more time. I'm going to start even at the top. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love it, they that love death shall consume the fruit of death. Remember, we said God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So they're actually, those that love death are eating death. Death is their fruit. Death is their sustenance. My God, or the lack of sustenance, as it were. Those that love life will consume life. They'll reap life. Glory to Yah. So we speak life into people. Amen. We speak life into people and not death. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We're not here to consume each other. We want to consume the works of darkness, the works of evil. We want our weapons, amen, to be arrayed, amen, our arsenals to be filled with what we need to come against the works of darkness and not one another. But if you are an assassinator of character, a slayer of reputations, a crusher of hopes and dreams, a murderer of destinations, if you dash into pieces the self-esteem of others, you are in violation of this command, you shall not kill. You shall not kill. Thank you for being with me for this installment of The Plumb Line. How do we measure up? Part 7. Meet me here again for part 8. Blessings and Shalom.